your life.
Well, golly, folks, I'm sorry. I got so busy doing church work, I forgot to get wired up. Yeah, and I'm better when I'm wired up, okay? Well, you know, I just feel like saying praise the Lord. How about you? Let's just praise Him. Huh? Praise the Lord. How do you say that in Hebrew? That's it. You remember it. Let's say it together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And that Lord is a translation of Yahweh. Praise, hallelujah. Yahweh. Can we say that as a group this morning to Him? Hallelujah. Something good about that, isn't there? When it just sort of rolls off your tongue and what have you. Sure good to see all of you this morning. I think I'm looking at some new faces, too. That's always a... Well, it's just a blessing when folks show up that hadn't been here before. We hope you've been made to feel welcome, real welcome already. If you hadn't, somebody will take care of that before you get out of here. I'll tell you. You know, we started a while back talking about how we could get to know the Lord more intimately, and how He thinks, and how He goes about doing things. Now, the normal place where you do that is in your quiet time, because that's where the Lord shows you who He is and how He does things and what have you. But when we started on this series, the Lord said, you know, what I want you to do is take the folks in the church to the Ten Commandments. And let's talk about those, because nowhere in all the Bible is God's heart revealed like it is in the Ten Commandments. And we've gone through four of those this morning. I hope that's up on the screen, is it? Okay. It's not very big. Isn't it supposed to be that size? Can I make it bigger? Just squeeze it. What is it? Oh, that's fine. Don't worry about it. That's good. Okay.
That shows different than this, but so that would be what shows up next.
Okay. Bless you. Boy, teaching an old dog new tricks. Yeah, it can be done. It can be done. It takes a little longer, but it can be done. We're gonna get there. I want to ask you if you'd open your Bibles to the book of Exodus. Chapter 20. Can you read that? All right. If you're sitting in the back, you may not be able to read it, but you're always welcome to come down to the front if you want to. Somebody has said that a cynic is somebody who knows the price of everything but the value of nothing. And I think that's pretty good. We're starting to live in a pretty cynical age, this day that we're living in. And there are many folks who do not know by experience or just knowledge of the family values that some of us have enjoyed all of our lives. They certainly do not know how to treasure those family values. And I think you'd have to agree with me that there has been it's just been an all-out assault on our homes. And Satan is the one who's masterminded this. And it's because the home is the very basic unit of society. You folks who've been around a while like I have Have you ever seen such an attack on the homes of this nation and in this world as presently is going on? You see, God founded the home before he ever had a government. The home came first. He founded it even before the church. The home is the basic unit of society. And as the home goes, so goes society. And folks, that's a big deal. That's a really big deal. Because we have homes in our nation today that are unraveling right before our very eyes. Now, this is just my opinion, but I get to state it anyway. I really feel like the music industry and Hollywood television are doing their part in the assault on our homes. I believe so. So I want to ask you a question. When was the last time you actually saw a happily married couple portrayed on television or in a movie? Well, it'd be pretty rare, would it not? And it would probably be set in another age. For example, The Little House on the Prairie. That dates everybody, doesn't it? But it'd have to go back to that time and to that generation. You remember back yonder when television was really starting to get going, you know, in the late 50s and 60s? And we used to watch films like I Love Lucy or Dick Van Dyke. Lassie. Well, I didn't miss Lassie. I'm telling you, it's great. Make Room for Daddy. The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet. The Donna Reed Show. Father Knows Best, and Leave It to Beaver, the real McCoys. You know what? A family, mom, dad, and the kids could sit down with a bowl of popcorn and enjoy the programming and not have to worry about people with the morals of alley cats jumping in and out of bed together and knowing that what was being presented was this idea. This is a happy home. Compare that with today. Can you imagine a show today that would be entitled Father Knows Best? You know, in today's society, it'd have to be titled Father Knows Nothing. Amen? Parents, especially dads, are looked on as imbeciles, as people who just don't understand, who are out of it, who are malicious and hypocritical, and who are failing in every way. But it is the enlightened children today who are telling parents how to behave while the parents just stumble around and fail. It seems to me like even the so-called nice films seem to be saying that parents are failures. Now, I want to tell you where all that began. It began back in the 60s with a rebellion of a youth culture that said this: don't trust anybody over 30. Well, guess what? That generation is now running this country. And they're running the media, and we are reaping a harvest of children who do not understand what God taught as one of the basic family values. And I'm going to read it to you right here out of Exodus chapter 20, beginning in verse 1. I'm reading all this every time because I want to bring us back up to date. Does it hurt to read the Ten Commandments every time we get together? Does it hurt? It helps me, reminds me of what God wants. Okay, I am the Lord your God who rescued you from the land of Egypt, the land of your slavery. You must not have any other God but me. You must not make for yourself an idol of any kind or an image of anything in the heavens or on the earth or in the sea. You must not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God who will not tolerate your affection for any other gods. I lay the sins of the parents upon their children. The entire family is affected, even children in the third and the fourth generations of those who reject me. But I lavish unfailing love for 1,000 generations on those who love me and obey my commands. You must not misuse the name of the Lord your God. The Lord will not let you go unpunished if you misuse his name. Remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, your livestock, and any foreigners living among you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them, but on the seventh day he rested. That's why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy. Here we are at today's verse of Scripture that we'll be studying. Honor your father and mother. Then you will live a long, full life in the land the Lord your God is giving you. The first four commandments that we studied are commandments that dealt with God. You're not to have any other God. You're not to have any graven images. Don't take God's name in vain. On the Sabbath, remember to rest. Now, those are what we call vertical relationships. That's a relationship between God and man. Okay, man and God. Then after the first four, he gives what we call six horizontal relationships. That's our relationships with one another. And the very first one of these is honor your father and mother. I want you to think with me for a moment. How many commandments did God give? Only 10. And so they must be exceedingly important. Do you agree? Only 10. And of those 10, one of them says that we are to honor our father and our mother. So we're talking about this subject this morning, learning to honor our parents. Honor father and mother. It's a basic family value that needs to be treasured. And this is the first of the last six. Let me just do a little aside here and tell you that next Sunday, the Lord willing, we're going to stay with honor your father and your mother, but I'm going to kind of reverse the thing and try to teach how we can be a mother and father to be honored. Okay? This one is just like it's written. The other is too, but it'll be just a little. Now, why does God put this one first? Well, it's because it's primary. It's very primary. The child that does not learn to honor his father and mother is going to have a basic character flaw that will impede him from living up to the rest of the commandments. Did teenage Roe hear that? Now, I know you got holes in your head and it's porous and things pass through. Listen, I love you guys and I want you to learn these things. The only way you can learn them is to listen, right? I asked the Lord. I said, Lord, what if I got all the teenagers in the church and put them on the front row? He said, no, that'd cause the building to collapse. And so we're going to let you stay back there and just trust you to listen. This is of vital importance to you. Vital importance. Not only to you, but to the family you're going to have one of these days. So can you understand how important it is for you to pay attention today? Okay. It's primary. If you don't get these commandments, you're going to have a flaw right up here in your brain that will keep you from living up to the rest of the commandments. Now that's pretty serious, isn't it? That's pretty serious. So, honor your father and your mother is listed before not killing, before not stealing, before not bearing false witness. It is first and it is primary. You see, the religion that does not begin at home generally does not begin. Do you understand? Generally, it doesn't. Our parents are the very first persons we meet. And they're the first persons that we know. If we cannot learn how to love and respect our parents, how can we hope to ever get along right in society? So this is absolutely, basically, fundamental in principle. So I want us to look at this command, and I want you to understand that's exactly what it is. It's not a suggestion. This is a command. So let me ask y'all, what does God expect us to do with his commands? We don't vote on them? Or are we supposed to obey them? We got that settled? It's not even up for question. God says this is what you're going to do if you're going to have the kind of life that I want you to have. So I want us to look at this command, honor your father and your mother. And I want to try to give you three ways, and talking children up, okay? Children, teenagers, that you can do exactly that. Well, you know what? All of us are children. Somebody's. Isn't that right? How many of you didn't have any parents? That's what I thought. Yeah, well, you crawled out from under a rock. I knew that. But we all have mothers and fathers. Some of our mothers and fathers, like mine, are already in heaven. But there are others as well. And so here's a command that is universal to all of us, from the youngest to the oldest. It's to every mother's child in the world. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land which the Lord your God gives you. So here are three ways that you can do that. First of all, you need to be able to learn, do whatever you have to do, to obey them when you're young. Did you put that down? Obey them when you are young. Obey them. Now, young means before you get out on your own and assume responsibilities of your own home and your own life. So I want to give you some scriptures, and they're going to be on the screen, and so I want you to jot them down. The first one is in Colossians chapter 3, verse 20. It says, children, obey your parents in all things. Now, this is Colossians. This is not Exodus. This is the New Testament. Obey your children in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. What? What did I say? Obey your parents. Isn't that what I said? Oh, sorry about that. Now that we have that settled, why should you obey your parents? Well, first of all, it's because it's the root blessing to obey your parents. See, now out here in the West, we have what's called a continental divide. The Rocky Mountains divide the continent. If a drop of water falls on the west side of the Rocky Mountains, it can end up in the Pacific. If a drop of water falls on the right side or on the east side of the Rocky Mountains, it can make its way to the Atlantic. So what is the continental divide with children? You know, basically, children have the same abilities, same mind, same opportunities. But one child chooses to obey his parents. The other child may choose not to do that. And it makes a huge difference in their character. Did you hear me say that? It makes a huge difference in their character. And it also makes a huge difference in their destiny, how you will turn out, what you will do with your life, what will be characteristic of who you are and what you do. Obedience to parents is a continental divide in character. Now, there was an evangelist of another day by the name of Dwight Moody, and he said this. He said, I've lived over 60 years, and I've learned one thing if I've learned nothing else. Now listen to what he said. No man or woman who dishonors their father or their mother ever prospers. You know, I found that to be true too. They never prosper. God ranks disobedience with the worst and the most vile sins. Now, I'm going to skip over from Exodus to Romans chapter 1 for a minute, because I want to show you how God feels about disobedience to parents. I'm going to begin reading in Romans chapter 1 and verse 28. God is speaking here of a generation that's on its last legs. Now, that seems familiar to me. We seem to have a generation that's on its last legs as well. And this is what he says about it. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, they didn't even want to have God in their heart. They didn't want to be responsible to God. Didn't want to think about God. God gave them over to a reprobate mind. And you want to know what a reprobate mind is? Well, let's don't leave any question. God gave them over, the rest of it says, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And I want you to hear the catalog of sins that he's going to list. And as I read you this catalog of sins, you can see that they're vile and they're vicious, but that God puts disobedience to parents in this same list. Are you with me so far? He does that. Okay. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, that's sexual sin, wickedness, covetousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventor of evil things, and disobedient to parents. Now, if you're being disobedient and have been, how do you like being included in that list? That's where it shows up. You may think that disobeying your mom or dad is just a small thing, but I want you to take this list and see how God ranks the sin of disobedience to parents with these worst sins. As a matter of fact, God teaches that a generation that disobeys its parents is a generation that's on its last legs. History shows that to be so. It's a sign of the last days and of the end times. Now also in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1 through 5, God's going to describe those last days for us. He's describing the perilous times, and I believe those are the days that we're living in right now. In the last days, perilous times shall come. So, let's hear God's description of perilous times. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, here it is, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent. Now, that means something different today, but then it meant you can't control your sex urges. So you see what that is. Fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, heady means hard-headed, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Now, what's God saying here? God's talking to teenagers, especially. And he says, if you are disobedient to your parents, the religion you have is a fraud. Did you hear me say that? It's a fraud. You only have a form of godliness. If you're disobedient to your parents, in other words, you are a hypocrite. Disobedience to parents brings the sure judgment of Almighty God. Obedience, on the other hand, brings the blessing of Almighty God. Which way do you want it to be in your life? Simple, isn't it? Now, listen to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. It just simply says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise. When God gave all the other commandments, he gave a warning. But God, with this commandment, gives a promise. The promise is that you will live long in the land, that it might be well with you, and that you might live long on this earth. Now, why is that? Now, listen. When you honor your parents, it is the seedbed, it is the root of character. And to live with character is to live with health. Have you ever made that connection? It's to live with health. It's to be given a long life. And it's also to receive the blessings and the protection of Almighty God. Because listen to me now, I want to tell you something. You need to hide this in your heart. God does not bless, nor is God bound to protect rebels who rebel against him. That almost sounded like old me. Huh? It's the truth, isn't it? He's not bound to do that. So moms, dads, maybe a good thing that you could do would be to put a sign up in your teenager's bedroom that says something like this: warning, disobedience may be harmful to your health. Probably is anyway, isn't it? Yeah. What I'm trying to say to you is this: disobedience to parents is a sin God will judge on the spot. Okay? God will judge it. You say, but what if my mom and dad command me to do something that's contrary to God's word? All right, now pay attention. I'm not giving you a loophole. I want you to understand how God thinks. You ought to obey God rather than men, but I want to tell you that's so rare it's almost not worth mentioning. You see, most parents are parents who tell us what's right and what's wrong. The Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. You cannot go against God by obeying your parents, but you should always obey your parents when it does not contradict a known commandment of Almighty God. You guys and girls got that? That's the way it's laid out in the book. So that's the first thing you can do today, is to honor your father and your mother. Obey them while you're young. But guess what? You're not always going to be young. Did you know that? It's going to creep up on you too. The Bible says, for this cause shall a man leave his mother and his father and shall cleave to his own wife. Things will change. There's going to come a time, young people, when you will get out from underneath the commands of your parents and you begin to build your own home and give instructions to your own children. And so the second way that you honor your father and your mother is not only to obey them when they're young, but to take care of them when they are old. Right over our heads. We don't want to hear that part. Huh? Better listen to this. Better listen to this closely, because I want to tell you something. We have to obey them when we're young and take care of them when they're old. There's a serious problem going on in our wonderful nation today. We have begun to forsake and cast away our older people. We have literally become hard-hearted toward the elderly because we have learned to expect the government, other institutions like the church, to take care of our parents. When this book explains, it is our solemn and holy obligation before God to take care of them ourselves. I want to talk with you about this for a moment so we can have an understanding of it. You're thinking, some of you, but if I did that, it would keep me from doing what I want to do. Well, let me tell you something. That doesn't make a bit of difference in the whole universe. You, inhibited them when you were little. You were an inconvenience when you were little. If you have to carry them around, did they carry you around when you were small? If you have to bathe them, they bathed you. If you have to feed them, they fed you. You have to sacrifice for them because they sacrificed for you. Bible says a wonderful thing in Matthew chapter 15, where it teaches that the duty to our parents actually comes before our duty to the church. Do you ever think you'd hear a preacher say that? It does. Duty to our parents. So I want you to listen to this. Jesus was speaking to the religionists of his day, and he found out that they were being very hypocritical because they were neglecting their grown parents. And here's what Jesus had to say to them. Matthew 15, verse 3. I try to put where I took the scriptures from at the bottom, so if it don't, you know, I'm skipping around where it says it more plainly so we can understand. Jesus replied, "And why do you, by your traditions, violate the direct commandments of God?" Now, you're going to need to listen to this so you can stay with me, all right? Okay. For instance, God says, "Honor your father and mother, and anyone who speaks disrespectfully of father or mother, whoa, must be put to death." But you say it's all right for people to say to their parents, "Sorry, I can't help you. I mean, I vowed to give to God what I would have given to you." In this way, you say that you don't need to honor your parents. And so you cancel the word of God for the sake of your own tradition. You hypocrites. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you, for he wrote, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship is a farce, for they teach man-made ideas as commands from God." Now, what's the Lord talking about here? Okay, here's a man who has a mother and a father who are in need, financial need, physical need. And here's a son who is saying to them, "I'm sorry, I can't help you, Mom and Dad. I mean, I took what I was going to spend on you and I gave it to the church." You know, they had a love offering going, and I gave it there. I got a building program going. I gave it there. I helped with a missionary offering. I gave one this thing or that. I gave it as a gift. I gave it to God, so I can't help you. That's their argument. Jesus went on to say, "In this way, you say you don't need to honor your parents, and so you cancel the word of God for the sake of your own tradition." That is, he doesn't have any responsibility now to his mom or dad because he's dedicated everything to the church or to God or to the temple or some such thing. He says, "So you cancel the word of God for the sake of your own tradition." Taking tradition and use tradition to nullify the commandment. So here's what the Lord said. Who's the Lord? Jesus? This is what he said. "You hypocrites, well, did Isaiah prophesy of you saying, 'This people draws near me with their mouth and honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men.'" Let's think about that a minute. We come to church like today, and we sing the songs, and we make the gifts, but we're not taking care of our mom and dad who has a need. We're not involved in that. Jesus said that your worship is vain, and it's not doing a thing in the world for anybody. Singing the songs, making the gifts, but not taking care of mom and dad. Jesus said, the worship that you're involved in, your worship is vain. Means nothing. Nothing. You have negated the basic commandment of God that says, honor your father and mother. So Jesus said that one of the ways that you do that is to take care of them when they're old. Now listen, the Bible teaches that if you refuse to do that or if you fail to do that, you are worse than an infidel. Not as good as an infidel, worse than an infidel. So, here you are. 1 Timothy verse chapter 5 and verse 4. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them first learn to show piety at home. Okay, so here's a woman who's a widow. The Bible, the New Testament, calls her a widow indeed because she doesn't have anybody to take care of herself. She has children, though, who could take care of her and should. So the Lord says, let those children learn to show piety at home. What he's saying is learn godliness and to take care of their parents. That means that that's a good and acceptable practice to God. And then in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, it says what I was telling you. And if any provide not for his own, especially those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Plain English. We don't have any right to call ourselves a child of God if we won't take care of our elderly parents. Is that plain enough? We don't have any right to do that. That's what God's Word says. Nobody else should do it for you if you can do it yourself. Now, you might not be able to. I know those circumstances exist. You might not be able to. You could be pretty destitute yourself. So somebody is thinking, well, now, wait a minute, Pastor. Are you saying to me, that I should take what I give to Circle J Church and give it to my parents? Pay attention, because that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that you're to give them what is due to them, and you're to give to God what is due to God too. You follow that? Okay. Don't use one as an excuse not to do the other, because there is a wonderful balance in God's Word. But nobody can call himself a Bible-believing Christian who does not honor and respect and take care of his parents. Did you hear that? What do you think of that? Amen? Well, that was quiet, wasn't it? Took a lot of thought to get that across. Obey them when you're young. Care for them when they're old. And when the Bible says if anyone provides not for his own, especially those of his own house. Now listen, he's not talking about the parent providing for the children here. He's talking about the children providing for the parents. Put it in the context where it belongs. See? That's what he's talking about. All right, there's a third thing that you might do to honor your father and your mother. First of all, we said to obey them when you're young and take care of them when they are old. And the third one is to honor them at all times. All times. Now I'm going to give you five ways that you can do that. Whether you're young or whether you're old. Whether your parents are old and elderly or in their prime. Five ways that every child can honor his parents. By the way, the word honor means literally to take seriously. Take seriously. To speak of them with respect. The word honor comes from a Hebrew word that means to attach weight to something. It means don't take your parents lightly. Don't deal with them frivolously. Even as I am speaking to you this morning, I am remembering times in my own life when I did exactly that. And I hope you are too. And I regret it. I wish I'd never done it. I wish I could have done it differently. Unfortunately, I'll never get a chance to change it. See? Because it's gone. So pay attention here. Five ways that you can honor your father and your mother. Number one is show them respect. Show them respect. Leviticus 19:3 says, and you shall fear every man, his mother, and his father. Fear them. Now, that word fear doesn't mean that you shake and shiver in their presence. It's a word that means to reverence, like the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You're to have a holy respect for your mother and your father. Never shoot your mouth off at your parents. Back row, hear me? Never shoot your mouth off at your parents. Let me give you a personal example. When I was in high school, I had surrendered to preach. Everybody in the little town knew that. So I was the little preacher boy. You know? I was kind of proud of that, little preacher boy, right? One day my mother said something to me at home, and I flew into a rage and unloaded all over her. I saw in her eyes that I had hurt her heart. But do you know what she said? She said, "Son, why can't you be the little preacher boy at home as well?" Slash, cut, stab. Man, I had it out there, and I couldn't do much. There it was. All I could do was repent, you see. Don't shoot your mouth off at your parents. I guarantee you the time is going to come when you will seriously regret it and won't be able to do anything about it. And I guarantee you another thing, God will judge it. You hear me? God will judge it. Leviticus 29:20, verse 9. For everyone that curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He has cursed his father and his mother, and his blood shall be upon him. This was a sin so hateful and so horrible and so wicked that in the Old Testament, under theocracy that existed there, were you to curse your father or your mother, they would stone you to death as a young person. Now that's zero tolerance, isn't it? Zero tolerance. God put it quaintly in Proverbs 30:17. The eye that mocks at his father and despises to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out and the young eagles shall eat it. Now, if you follow that through all the way through, it means here's a body that's been stoned to death and the ravens and the eagles are picking the eyes out of it. It was a serious sin. Do you understand? Very, very serious. You say, "Oh yeah, but look, my parents are not worthy of any respect. They're awful. My parents are not. They don't qualify." Now you listen real close, will you? Only perfect children can demand perfect parents. And there's no such thing as a perfect child. Is she talking? Parents are imperfect. Y'all know that. You know that to be a fact. You young people, you're imperfect too. But God is holy. And God says, respect your parents. Now let me tell you, there's one thing in our family that I never would tolerate, and that was disrespect. And I've got a couple of daughters here today, I think, can back me up on this situation. Now, there were times when we might just choose to kind of look the other way at some failures and faults, you know, that the children had. But direct disrespect, I would not tolerate, and I will not tolerate it to this very day. My children are all grown, but none of my children will disrespect their mother in my presence. Now, the mother that gave them birth is in heaven today, but the mother who raised most of them is sitting right here on the front row. And I'm telling you that as long as I'm breathing and in the same room with them, if I can help it, I will not allow them to speak disrespectively to somebody who has done as much for them, for example, as Gail has done. Things they don't even know about. Because I've watched her when she's prayed for them. and nursed them in their bad health and cared for them and sacrificed for them and lived for them and labored for them and loved for them and taught them and cared for them. Their birth mother did that too. You see, one just took up kind of where the other left off. A few bumps in the road and what have you, but that's the way it worked. But to respect her is a sin, in my mind, of the gravest consequence. Are you guys listening? I don't think I'm the only one in here that feels that way. You know? Respect your parents. Why? Just because they're your parents and God said to. That's enough, isn't it? All right, number two. You honor them by expressing your gratitude. Say to them, you know, I really want to thank you for what you've done to, for me and through me. Just, how do they say it? Develop an attitude of gratitude. Say that with me. Develop an attitude of gratitude. That's a good thing, isn't it? Our parents, even the worst kind of parents, have taken pretty good care of us. It was Shakespeare who said, "How sharper than a serpent's tooth it is to have a thankless child." And all the people said, because you've suffered from that, haven't you? A thankless child. You say, but my mom and my dad made me do this or that. Well, thank God they loved you enough to discipline you. And even failing parents have done so much that deserve thanks. Thank your mom. Thank your dad. And tell them that you're thankful for them. You know what you can do? You can write them a note. But you better do it while they're alive. Another one of my failures. I never wrote anything down to tell my parents how much I loved them or how much I appreciated the kind of parents that they were. And now I can't do that. So just express that thanksgiving. Learn to express that thanksgiving on a regular basis. And the third thing is listen to their counsel. Listen to it. Proverbs 1, 8 through 9 says, "My son, hear the instruction of your father and forsake not the law of your mother. They shall be an ornament of grace unto your head and chains about your neck." Now the chains he's talking about here are not chains of slavery, but they're ornamentation, like a gold chain, beautiful gold chain around your neck. You see, your mom and dad know far more than you think they know. You say, yeah, but I'm smarter than they are. I got more education than they got. I'm telling you this morning, that really doesn't have anything in the world to do with it. Let me tell you where it is that your mother and father have it over you. They've lived longer than you have. They have. You see, King David could say, "Once I was young and now I am old." Children cannot say that, can they? Children can't say it. An older person has experience that younger people do not yet have. So let me use an illustration I gave you one time before just because it fits the situation. Suppose that as a family, you're going to take a trip to California, you know, a little vacation trip. But circumstances make it impossible for you to go together. So you're going in two vehicles and your parents are going first. And then you and your family are going to come later. And you're headed out Interstate 10 toward California, west. And so after about a day, they call you and they say, "By the way, going through certain city, you need to be really careful because the road is under construction. You're going to waste a lot of time trying to get through there. We suggest that you find a detour." And then they might say to you, "Oh my, we found the best motel to stay in. It's reasonable, it's clean, there's a great restaurant right next to it." And then they say, "And you got to see thus and so when you get close by. You've got to see that." Now let me ask you a question. Are they doing that because they're so much smarter than you are? Are they doing that because they're better than you are? No, listen. They're just further down the road than you are. Does that make sense? See, they're just further down the road. There's something about age, listen, that the Bible says we are to honor. And it is not a suggestion. It's not a suggestion. See, the younger generation always thinks that it knows better. Does. Every succeeding generation. But the Bible says, my son, hear the instruction of your father and forsake not the law of your mother. Now, if you're like me, when you were 16, you thought your dad didn't know anything. That's probably what you're thinking now if you're in that category. Doesn't know anything. By 19, I was absolutely sure of it. I mean, it's just a fact. And at 22, man, I was light years ahead of my parents. But then lo and behold, I got to be 30. And I began to think, well, maybe your dad knows more than I thought he did. And then 40 crept up. It's amazing how much my dad learned in those years. He was nearly perfect. His judgments. You see? See, the older your parents get, the smarter your parents get. It's because they have an advantage. And you honor them by heeding and listening to their counsel. My mom and dad are in heaven now. But I still value the advice that they gave me along the way. Sometimes when I need guidance, I can hear my dad's voice. They're not speaking to me from heaven, but just speaking through my mind and from time past with advice. Or my mother exactly the same way. The fourth thing that you can honor your parents is to live nobly and godly. That means honorably. You and I are an extension of our parents. It's their blood that flows in our veins. And when we live honorably, we honor them. When we live shamefully, we bring shame to our parents. You know what? When I was growing up, what just gave me the greatest joy was for my parents, one of them, my dad or my mom, to say, son, I'm proud of you. I really appreciate the person that you are. That would give me an exhilaration just to think that I had pleased them. But you know what gives me great joy now as a father? To see my children living godly lives, honorable lives. So how do you honor your parents? By living honorably. Well, the last thing, you honor them by showing them love, demonstrating love. There is nothing greater on this earth. There is no greater love, no more godlike love than the love of a mother and a father for their children. They have loved us so much, and how we ought to love them. Don't write a note, write a letter. Just write a letter. Catalog it. Wrote it. Write it to them. Ow, that's corny. I'm not going to do that. Let me tell you, if you'll write that letter, I can guarantee you something. They won't ever throw it away. They will never throw it away. See, they'll always have that. Just tell them how much you appreciate what they have done for you. Pay that visit. Give that gift. Do that deed. Show that affection. Do it while you still can. If your parents are still alive, take advantage of that opportunity. Let me tell you, I've preached many funerals in my time. And not infrequently, I've come to stand at a grave with children who have their very expensive casket and flowers and beautiful words, and they're trying to make up for lost time. Now, you understand, I'm not against fancy caskets, if that's your desire. I'm not against flowers or beautiful words, but I want you to listen. Dead noses smell no roses. Comes a time when it's just too late. Wouldn't you want to honor your mother and your father and show them respect and give them thanks and live an honorable life and express love and express it. Say, Mama, I love you. Well, you did that when you were a little boy or a little girl, and you are not too big to do it today. Did you know that? You're not. If she's still alive, tell her. Tell your dad. The Bible says, honor your father and your mother, and that is a family value that this generation needs desperately to learn to treasure. Family values. Father God, would you seal the message in our hearts? In Jesus' name. And while your heads are bowed, nobody's looking around right now, I want to tell you that honoring your father and your mother begins with honoring your Heavenly Father and giving your heart to Him, trusting Him, asking Him to come into your heart and forgive your sins and to save you. The Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Wouldn't you like to be justified? You see, that literally means having your sin debt canceled. And in God's sight, to be right with Him. You're justified by faith, believing on Him, trusting in Him, receiving Him into your heart. That's what it's all about in this life, is getting us ready for the next one. And we sure want to give you that opportunity today to do that. I honestly believe that one of the most noble and best things that we do as a church is every Sunday morning without fail is to give everybody an opportunity to invite Christ into their lives. Now, there's folks who've done this literally hundreds of times now, and it's okay. See, it's okay. Because other folks have prayed while we've prayed, and they've asked the Lord into their hearts. And God's honored that tremendously. We're going to do that right now, too. Because, you see, the main work of the church is to spread the good news. And the good news is this. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And if you will say with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Because the Bible says, all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And this is your opportunity for that now. I don't know what your heart is. I don't know the reason you came to church today, but it might be because God wanted you to invite His Son, Jesus Christ, into your heart. And we take that very seriously. So we're going to do that all together right now. And church, you know how to help me with this, so let's just do it. Heavenly Father, I'm a lost sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for giving me eternal life. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, what I need for you to do, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, is to take one of these green sheets that's in the back of the pew there in front of you. It looks like this. And put your name and your address on there and your telephone number, please. And if you would, your email. Check the box that says, I prayed the prayer for the first time, and I'd like to talk with the pastor. All right? What do you do with this? Lay down the seat beside you. We'll pick it up, and I'll be in touch with you. If you want to. If you want to, you can just bring it to me after the service, and we'll talk about that decision. Okay? All right, trying to make that as easy as we can. Yes, ma'am. I thought you were headed this way.
Can you say, oh, me?
Oh, me, yeah.
That was kind of tough. But, you know, when Holly went off to school, David and I celebrated, yes, it's finally just us. By Thanksgiving, his mom and dad had moved in with us. So we had about 3 months. But in the process of that, David's dad had just been diagnosed with cancer, and his mom had been diagnosed with Alzheimer's. And Ovi had called David and told him that he was having a really hard time dealing or taking care of Helen. He needed some help. So David told him, come on, we'll help take care of you. So in the process, they moved to Houston. And we kept telling ourselves, honor thy father and thy mother, for your days will be long on the earth. We felt confident enough that we were doing the right thing, taking care of his mom and dad. I'm not saying it was the easiest thing on this earth to do. It was hard on them too. But looking back on it, the things that bothered me the most, I laugh at now, because it is funny. But also, I have the peace in my soul that I did the right thing. And really appreciated the experience. It also prepared me for taking care of my mom and dad.
Yeah.
And so I just thought I'd give that little word of testimony. Next week, what's going to happen? Super Bowl. That's Tuesday. Yeah, well, there you go. Okay.
Next Sunday night.
But don't get so excited about the football game that you neglect to come Sunday morning, okay? Okay. I understand that the ball game starts at 5:30. Okay. So start gathering. Be here at least by 5 if you're going to bring any food. It's going to be finger foods, and we'll be gathering around the tables. We do have hot wings. I understand somebody's going to bring some really hot queso. Oh. Really hot. And there's going to be some that's not really hot. Queso. But anyway, whatever you would decide to bring, finger food sandwiches, queso, chips. If you want soft drinks only, please, and water.
Yes, please.
Also, if you would like to help decorate, I understand we're going to be decorating for the Broncos and the Panthers. If you're not really interested in football, you can still come and enjoy the fellowship.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you want to help decorate, see Diane, Sherry, Dawn, or me.
Okay.
I think that's got.
Okay, well.
Oh, men's prayer breakfast next Saturday.
I got something to say about that. Okay, gotcha. She mentioned the men's prayer breakfast, which is just a fellowship breakfast. We get together on Saturday morning at Golden Corral and have breakfast together. And this will be a kind of an important one. I'd like to invite all you guys. If you would come, I'm going to try to get us a private room so we can just fellowship together. But we're going to leave there and go out to the property south of Odessa and stretch some string and see what all we can possibly do in days ahead to utilize that good gift that the man laid on us. And then all you guys are invited to just come. I think it costs $8.50, doesn't it, for breakfast? It's $8.50 for breakfast, but it's all you can eat. you know, and what have you, and be a good time. So would you put that on your calendar and come? Do that. We'd appreciate it. Now tonight we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. Don't have that attitude, oh, it's just the Lord's Supper, I don't need to come. It's important in the fellowship of the church and the remembrance of the Lord that you come and participate. Tonight at 6, we'll be doing that, okay? Tonight at 6. Now, Ron tells me that next month, the 25th, 6th, and 7th of February, we're going to be involved in the Junior College Rodeo out here at the Coliseum, whatever that is. One night to have the service and other nights to pass out Bibles and just to be generally helpful, you know, to the folks who are out there. And he needs to have some volunteers who like to go out and do that. So after the service, if you would, see Ron and tell him, count on me. I'd like to come and be a part of that. We'd like to, as a church, get involved in what the junior college is doing. This one has a huge rodeo program, and get involved in it and talk to those young men and women and meet some of their needs and what have you. So I hope you'll come and be a part of that, okay? Now, did I miss anything? You say, I hope not. Oh, yeah. I don't know if it's the same people or not, but Jimmy Nail tells me that he's invited an exhibition of that down to the Gathering, which is going to be the first weekend in May. That's the week before Mother's Day. And they'll put on an exhibition of riding and shooting down there. I know we'll certainly enjoy that. And that's coming up in May. Okay? Okay, you folks are starting to get restless, so let's stand. Gail said that message was tough. It was not intended to be tough, but just to be factual and truthful. And I hope that we'll take it to heart and realize what a responsibility we have. Let me just tell you this right quickly. I am so thankful that Gail and I were able to do for my parents and her parents what we did. It is such a blessing, and it would have been terrible if we had not. Huh? Amen. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you so much for being our Father. For all the stuff that you provide for us and the guidance that you give and the plans that you have. We're just grateful for it. I ask you to bless all these folks. Lord, I ask you to just draw them close to you and prosper them and keep them away from the evil one and keep them from harm. Now, Lord, we're going to go to our homes and rest today, and we thank you for that privilege. Bless them, we pray, because we do ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all come back now, you hear?